About a year ago, I became a certified trainer in a program called Safe Start. This is a program that our company decided to use in our entire company around the world. A program called Safe Start. This program was started by a gentleman named Larry Wilson. Larry was a safety guy, you know, a safety administrator, kind of like what I do for a living. And for 25 years, he traveled around to several businesses. He went to many different companies. And he, in his studies in beginning in college, he wanted to find out why do people hurt themselves on the job. But not only that, but why do we have automobile accidents? Why do people become injured or cause damage to the property or the customer's property that they work on? So he began some research. What he found was basically that 95% of all the accidents that occur on the workplace, driving, are caused by four basic things. He called them states, basic attitudes or feelings, but basic states, four basic states. These states are rushing, frustration, fatigue, and complacency. You know, in interviewing employees and after accidents and doing accident investigations, these four things came up more than anything else. Now, there's other things. The FAA has what they call a dirty dozen, which includes these four plus eight more. But these are things that can cause or be a direct cause of accidents. Because what these four things do is they lead to a set of errors that Mr. Wilson calls critical errors. So you find yourself in one of these four states or multiples of these states. You could be in two or three or all four at the same time. Trust me, if you're in all four, you're in trouble. You shouldn't be working today. But you can find yourself in these four states and you will commit one of these four critical errors. Your eyes will not be on what you're doing. Your mind will not be engaged in what you're doing. It will not be on the task. You will find yourself in the line of fire. Something that you're working with, a hazard that you might be with, can suddenly you'll be in the line of fire. You'll get caught. And then the fourth thing, you can easily lose your balance, your traction, or your grip. All because you're in one of the four states again. Rushing, frustration, fatigue, and complacency. These four states lead to these four errors 95% of the time in all accidents. These state to error patterns increase the risk. Now, in my business, in the business that I work with in aviation, I think everyone would agree there's a lot of risk, right? Not just the flying of the airplanes, but just working on the airplanes, the moving parts. I mean, can you imagine the guy out there adjusting an engine while the propeller is running 2 feet from his head? He's got to be pretty aware of what's going on around him, right? I mean, and think about it. Who wants the pilot to be in one of these four states when he's flying your airplane? I want to focus on just one of these four states today. The great state of Texas. No. I want to focus in on the state of complacency. We've heard this word a little bit lately. Mr. Petty talked about it just briefly in one of his messages. And as I was doing some research, I found that he'd actually written several articles on this in years past. So I had a lot of information to draw from. But it came to my mind because of this training that I've been doing for employees in our business. And complacency is one of the ones that is the most dangerous. And why do you think that is? Well, it's the one that is the least recognized by the individual. You see, if you're complacent, you don't know about it. You're complacent about it. It's one of those self-feeding things. It feeds itself. You get a little complacent, and then the next thing you know, you're getting a little more complacent because you're becoming less and less aware of the hazards around you. Nothing's ever happened to me, and I've always done it this way. You get complacent. And then when things do start going wrong, you start finding things to blame it on that's not your fault. Do you get where I'm going? I think you kind of get a sense. We're going to talk about complacency today because I want to focus on something that we must do to fix complacency. it's not easy to fix. As I said, number one, you can't know you're in it. You don't know you're in it. So how do you combat that, especially in the workplace? What do we have to do? Basically, the answer to that question is that someone else has to be paying attention to you as well. Now, it is an internal thing. It is something that you have to come to understand that you have it, and you have to begin the process of breaking that habit and changing that. But we have to then take what we have to do, and what we teach our employees is that you have to constantly remind yourself and constantly be aware of the hazards that you are surrounded by. Now, can you imagine? I'm driving down the roads in Atlanta. The road is fairly clear, and I'm very aware that they've been saying on the radio that there are ice patches everywhere. And as soon as you hit a bridge, yes, you definitely find an ice patch. But you survive that because you know it's there, and if you have thought about it beforehand and you know it's a possibility of being there, you know how to kind of control yourself through it. Now, you worry about the other folks around you, and so sometimes you just flat don't take the risk. You step back and say it's not worth the possible outcome. But if you're ever going to overcome, and you know we're going to be surrounded by these hazards all the time, and if you know you're going to have to get your work done, you have to understand how to pay attention to the hazards that you're surrounded by. So on a daily basis, our employees are reminded, be careful out there. You are surrounded by danger all day long. I mean, think about it. There's so many things on an airplane that someone at the other end can turn on, and a flap comes down, a wheel goes up, and you're caught. You're hung up in it. So we constantly have to remind people. Let's take a look. What does complacency mean? What is the meaning of the word complacency? Well, when it is used as a noun, it basically is a feeling of being satisfied with how things are. And it's not wanting to try to make them better. You see, when you're complacent, you think everything's going just fine. Like I said, employees say, well, I've never been injured on the job. Funny thing, a sad thing, a couple of days later, the guy's in the hospital because he was so complacent that he forgot about the hazards that he was surrounded by. Complacency can be a self-satisfaction. You're going to find that complacency has a lot to do with the self and how we see ourselves and how we are as a person. Everything's okay. I'm okay. I know how to deal with these things. Don't worry about me. Complacency can be a self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by the unawareness of the actual dangers which surround you. Complacency can be an instance, usually 95% of the time, of complete unawareness or just being uninformed, but you have self-satisfaction. Everything is okay. You see, we can find ourselves to be perfectly happy in the way things are. And let me tell you, when you're trying to train employees, some of these guys are 40, 50-year veterans working on airplanes, were in the military, and they've never so much as had a hangnail, which is a lie, but they claim that they have never been injured. Try to stand up in front of them and tell them that you've got to pay attention. You've got to pay attention. You've got to be aware of the dangers that surround you. And they look at you and roll your eyes in the classroom and say, yeah, right. I got more things to do. I'm busy. I got to get back to work. And what he really means is I didn't get to finish my cup of coffee. I want to get back out there. Do you think that we might can get in that attitude sometimes? And let's look at this from a spiritual perspective. When you and I come into the church, we are beginning to learn all of the dangers and hazards that are out there. We're coming away from those a lot of the times. And our young people, Mr. Brooks gave a very excellent sermonette last week, talking to the young people. You may not be aware of all the dangers and hazards that are out there. Your parents have probably been doing a pretty good job of protecting you from those. But as you get a little bit older, you have to pay attention to those. You have to come to understand that they're there. because even us as young people, people like me, third generation Christian in the church, can become very complacent about the way things are. Things can look really good. We come to church, we have our church friends, and everything is nice. But who's out there? Something is there. There is a hazard. There is a danger that we have to be aware of. Oftentimes when we fall into spiritual complacency, it's something that doesn't happen overnight. As I said, when you first come into the church and you're becoming aware of those dangers, you're very sharp. You're very keen on paying attention to those things. And you realize that you can't do it alone and that you need the help of others, and you especially need the help of God the Father. We need the help of our older brother, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived this life for us and showed us that you cannot become complacent. Because if you do, there are dangers, there are hazards there that can attack you and take you away. When we become complacent, oftentimes we begin to compromise. And our lives become filled with the holes. And what do we automatically do? We want to say, no, everything is fine. I know how to deal with these problems. But our lives continue to grow with holes. And then what do? We try to fill those holes with things. We fill them with time that we do with things that we don't need to be doing. We purchase things to try to fill those holes. We try to gain wealth. And what we don't understand is we're getting worse and worse and worse. The hazards are sneaking up on us. They're coming around more and more, and we're getting more and more in danger. And then suddenly we're hurt severely. And we're speaking from a spiritual perspective. Remember what I said. If we get so complacent that we aren't paying attention, what happens? What are the four critical errors? We lose the sight of where we're going. We lose the sight of what we're doing. We take our mind off of things. We take our mind off of the things that we're supposed to be doing. We take our mind off of the goals that we have are supposed to have set for us. We end up in the line of fire. And as we go through this, you're going to find out just exactly what that line of fire is. The spiritual line of fire that we face is so dangerous. And I compare it to, and it's a little gruesome, but the propeller on an airplane, somebody working too close to it. And what could happen if you become complacent and you lose focus on that danger? Complacency begins to set in and we wind up in the line of fire and we lose our balance. We lose our traction and we lose our grip. It is interesting, just like with physical complacency, spiritual complacency has the same effect on us. We don't even know we're there. So just like with the physical complacency, how do we need to fight it? How can we fight spiritual complacency? As I said, complacency can be that self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by the unawareness of the dangers we face. So what do you think we need to do? So in the workplace, we remind people of the dangers they're working around. What do we need to do? Let's look at what can happen before we really answer that. We're going to answer that over the next 15, 20 minutes about how we can fix spiritual complacency. Let's look at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 22. This is what can happen to us if we become complacent. Verse 22 of Proverbs 1. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? May I remind you that I am not calling you a simple one. This is from the Bible. But how long will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now keep that in your mind. Hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Think about what we're supposed to do to avoid spiritual complacency and the effect that complacency can have on us. Because I have called you, verse 24, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You kind of get a picture here? We're supposed to get some knowledge. What is that knowledge we're supposed to get? We're supposed to have the knowledge, the awareness of the dangers that are out there. If we're going to fight spiritual complacency and come to understand that we definitely have it, we need to pay attention to those dangers and those things that can destroy us. Because eventually, we see God's calling us, He's talking to us, telling us, be aware, be aware. And just like that old guy that's been working on airplanes for 50 years, we're saying, nope, I don't need to hear this. My coffee's getting cold. I want to get back out there. I want to get back to work. And then, when something does happen and we begin to cry out to God again, He's going to say, sorry, I gave you your chance. You didn't listen. It says, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full in their own with their own fancies. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple way will slay them. We'll die if we don't pay attention to the hazards and stay awake and avoid complacency. It says, because and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Verse 33, let's turn this back positive again, because I know that sounds pretty negative. Verse 33, we still have to do something. We can do something. It says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely. Now, can you imagine me using that scripture at work? You listen to what I'm teaching you here today and you'll be safe. You will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So you see, sometimes we don't want to see what the dangers are because we don't want to think about them. And then we can fall into complacency and everything begins to look good. Just like in our spiritual lives, we need to understand if we call out to God and we listen to Him, we take His counsel, we apply it to our lives, then we can live without fear of this evil. So keep that in mind, because this next set of scriptures tells us of the danger that we need to be most aware of. Turn to Psalm 10. Psalms 10. Here it is, and there's a number of places you can go. I mean, I could have made this a two-day sermon. Our Safe Start sessions are 6 hours, basically 5 1.5-hour sessions. So I'm just doing complacency today, and it could even be an hour and a half. So Rod, I hope you don't have too much. No, I'm just kidding. But I chose to go to Psalm 10, and again, it's a fairly lengthy set that I'm going to go through, starting in verse 2. But here is the danger that we face the most that we need to be aware of. Verse 2 of Psalms 10. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Now think about it. Just be thinking as I read through this. Who is the wicked? Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked is in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. His judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. The mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits lurking in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly, and this should give you the biggest clue of all as to who this is, as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. He can't get complacent. Again, to end on a positive verse here, what do we have to do? Cry out to God. Arise, O Lord. God, O God, lift up your hands and do not forget the humble. Another key word there to remember, humble, humility. Who is this section of Scripture talking about? Well, it's obviously Satan the devil. Who is it that wants us to be the most complacent? Satan the devil. Who wants us to believe that everything is okay? It's A-okay. You're all right. You're good. Don't worry about it. But what's he doing? He's just like that lion waiting there in the grass, looking for that weakling that may have some point in their lives been aware, especially the older ones. They were certainly aware that there was danger out there. And most of the time they suddenly realize it's there again. But it's too late. Satan wants us to have self-satisfaction accompanied by the unawareness of the actual dangers that surround us. Remember in 1 Peter 5:8, no need to turn there. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then just the first part of verse 9 says, resist him, steadfast in faith. You and I must never give up on Bible study. We must never give up on prayer. These are the ways that we can make sure that we identify the hazards that are out there. And again, the key hazard. Every hazard that we have against us is driven by Satan himself. We must remain mindful constantly of the dangers that we have outside of God's protection. And these dangers are amplified. Remember we talked about in the beginning, you find yourself in one of these states and you find yourself committing one of these critical errors, the hazards that are around you suddenly are magnified. We have a chart that we use in our training that has a triangle that lists, you know, the close calls are the hugest base part of this, of kind of a pyramid. As you go up to the top and you end up with, you know, the deaths that might occur. But each level gets a little more hazardous. You find yourself in a state of complacency, that pyramid suddenly grows huge. It gets very large. Your exposure becomes very critical. What do we want to do? We need to be sure that as we become aware of these things, we do understand that we're not alone in this. God promises us that we cry out to Him. We just talked about it. We seek Him. We look for Him. We accept His counsel. He's the one that's reminding us every day that there are dangers out there. He's telling us these things. But it comes from within us that we have to listen. We have to understand. We can't be that old guy that knows it all and nothing's ever happened to him. We have to understand that it doesn't matter if something has never happened to you. It can still happen. And oftentimes things have happened to us and we just ignored them. Remember, the base of the triangle is all the close things that have happened but didn't really get us in that much trouble. So we have to always be mindful because, again, the lion is a lurking destroyer. So how can we avoid falling into the complacency attitude? Well, hopefully you've understood, and I've tried to put this in your mind, that we have to continually be reminded of the dangers that we're surrounded by. We can never accept that everything is okay, because as soon as we do, we're probably done for. The best way to avoid complacency is to remain constantly aware of the danger. We must then take measures to protect ourselves from that danger. We should know our enemy. We should never underestimate him. We should never underestimate his desire to destroy us. We must always be aware that he presents that danger to us constantly, relentlessly. And sometimes it's just by hiding in the grass and waiting for us to become complacent. We should know him that well that we know that's what he's doing. He never sleeps. He's sitting there waiting and watching and waiting just for us to become unaware that he's there. Turn to James 1. If you and I are going to avoid falling into this attitude of complacency, we must do something. We must be something. James 1, verse 22. We must be doers of what we know. It's one thing to hear God's counsel, and if we hear it, that's okay and that's good, but if that's all we do, it's not. It'll be the end of us. James 1, verse 22. Says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in the mirror, observing his face. And when I look in the mirror and see my face, I go, ew. I got a lot of flaws. I got a crooked jaw and teeth that go all every different direction. But then when I walk away, I'm forget about that, and I say, hey, what a good-looking dude. Hey, Debbie, you got a stud here, man. Isn't that what we do? We walk away from that mirror that we just got through looking at, or we step farther away from it so we just can't see all the flaws, and we say, all right, everything is good. For he observes himself, and he goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. He becomes complacent. But at verse 25, what do we need to be doing? We need to be looking in that mirror. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed by what he does. Complacency can be an instance where we unusually become unaware, or usually become unaware. We become uninformed. We become self-satisfied. And I repeat a lot of this because I know I need things repeated to me often to get it to sink in. But if you ever felt like, hey, things are pretty good. God's blessing me. Everything's all right. You know, and I'm not saying that it's wrong. We must be thankful and we must be happy when God blesses us. But we can never get to the point where we're proud of that fact. God blesses the humble. God blesses the ones that go to Him in humility and thank Him constantly for what He does for us, asking Him continually to keep us aware of the dangers that we face in our spiritual lives. Brethren, there's another term that the Bible uses for complacency. And when I wrap this, as I wrap this up, I want you to see, and I hope that today that I've begun a thought process in all of us. I know that as I began to work on this a few months ago, and I've talked to Mr. Petty and a few people about my direction I wanted to take this, basically the answer I got was go pray about it. So I'm confident today that God is telling us this, and I say us because as I study these things, I realize we cannot be complacent. We just cannot be complacent. And if we don't think we are, just open up the Bible and take the counsel of God and be aware of the hazards that we face, the main hazard, and the hazards that He provides, gives us. Make sure that we stay aware of those things and never forget those things. But the Bible uses another word for complacency. And it's a very dangerous place to be. Because as I mentioned, complacency is an attitude. It's an attitude that typically starts within us, thinking everything is okay. It's an attitude that when it starts with us can very quickly spread throughout the church, the entire body. and then the entire body can become complacent. God tells us He's going to deal with this arrogance. Yes, I said it's arrogance, because we typically can become very arrogant about our complacency. Everything is okay. There's no problems. There's no dangers. I'm doing good. But let's end today with a description of what God says about this attitude. Turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, we'll start in verse 14. Hopefully, you're way ahead of me. What does God say about this attitude? And what is it that we need to do to come out of this attitude? Because He tells us about it in the Scripture, but He also tells us how we can overcome it. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the complacent people, the Laodiceans, write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Jesus Christ Himself is telling us this. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing.' I do not know, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Can you and I become this complacent, where we don't even know that we are not rich, that we are blind, we're naked, we're wretched? What do we do? Well, here's what we do. Listen to this counsel in verse 18. I counsel you to buy gold from me. Buy from me gold refined in the fire. Pay attention. Be aware of those hazards and know how to overcome them. When you get trapped in those snares, work with God. Listen to Him. Listen to Jesus Christ and how He tells us. Buy the gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich with a true richness, the real richness, not the richness that we think we might have. And buy white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." Listen to the counsel of Jesus Christ. Listen to the counsel of God. And He will and seek Him and seek His gold. Seek His richness. Seek the clothes that He has for us. The robes that He's going to put on us. And that the salve that He's going to use to heal our blindness. Because remember, in a complacent attitude, we can be blind to that. We don't even know we're there. But don't forget, verse 19, He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous to repent." Hopefully we've gotten a little instruction today on how we can be complacent and how we can come out of that complacency. And that we can be zealous and we can repent, because God is the one telling us this. He's telling us, and don't be complacent. Don't be Laodicean. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's there for us. We can seek Him. He's knocking and saying He's there. "Therefore, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and I will dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."